share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. This is a great show about how we are not only changing the life of one dog and one child, but in fact an entire school of special needs children who within a few simple days have changed not only the way they are in school, but even have increased and improved their own self-esteem. This is going to be an amazing show. We're going to have an incredible guest today, Casey Butler from Pennsylvania, who works for a wonderful school for special needs children, and we will be speaking with her in a little bit. First, we're going to talk about an update from last week. Most of you who were here last week remember some of the stories of Lisa who came from Australia with her beautiful special needs son who is autistic and also has a seizure disorder, which they did not know about. Even EEGs, which are tests that are absolutely designed to locate seizure disorders and seizure activity, the EEGs were not showing seizures. But the child was obviously having some kind of episode. Well, Zuri the Wonder Dog, who is Aiden's service dog, was the one who actually found those seizures and can predict Aiden's seizures. So we're going to talk a little bit for a moment about Aiden, give you a little bit of an update. We had hundreds of people writing in and calling in asking how Aiden was because Aiden started school on Friday, and he is doing great. You can go on to the Merlin Kids or United Canine Professionals Facebook, and you can actually see Aiden on his first day of school with his sweet little Zuri, who probably weighs more than he does by about 20 pounds, and to see the big smile on Aiden's face is just priceless. Well, Aiden used to hate school, and when Aiden was in Australia, we heard Lisa, his mother, talk about some horrible things that go on in different countries. And Aiden was actually, when he would have a meltdown from sensory overload, he was actually locked in a dark bathroom and sometimes restrained there. And just imagine a 4 or 5-year-old child who's so overloaded with sensory input. Imagine you have the worst sunburn of your life and somebody starts slapping you on the back. And imagine that now, not only on your back, but imagine that in your head. Imagine that in your ears. Imagine that in your eyes. Imagine that pain all over your body. That all you wanted to do was scream or run, but you couldn't run from it because it went with you. We're talking about children who are this incredible, brilliant little babies who are mistreated in some countries, not because it's an intentional mistreatment, but because people don't understand what they can't see. And that's what's so horrible when a lot of these children with autism and with what we call pervasive developmental disorders and developmental delays, these children aren't trying to act out. They're not trying to be bad. They're just trying not to be in pain. My dear friend, Dr. Temple Grandin, and I won't go into the entire story in detail, but know that Temple is a huge proponent of what Merlin's Kids does and what United Canine Professionals does. Temple and I had been discussing, I had had actually a surgery, and it was a really excruciating surgery. And she called me the day after my surgery when I was still in the hospital and just lying in bed and just literally, I have a real high pain threshold, but boy, oh boy, this was like nothing else I'd ever had. And, of course, as, you know, your dear friend, your best friend would call you and say, oh, I'm so sorry, you're in pain, I'm sorry, you know, I hope you feel better. Temple's awesome, but no filter. And she didn't ask me that. She didn't say, how are you as far as, you know, I hope everything's okay. When she asked me and she said, how do you feel? I said, Temple, I've never been in this much pain in my life, and I was almost crying. And I said, I just want to rip my skin off. I want to rip my stitches out. I can't stand it anymore. And she said to me, not, oh, Janice, I hope you feel better. When I said that I wanted to rip my skin off, she said to me, well, that's good, because now you know how the children feel. And I assure you, that was not what I wanted to hear. But she was right. Anyone who has ever tried to put him or herself in the place of a special needs child, and you don't understand because you can't see their pain. You can see their reaction, but you don't understand because it doesn't hurt your ears or your eyes or your skin when the tag of the back of the shirt and the tag is there. It doesn't drive you crazy like it drives them crazy. Imagine a sunburn, the worst sunburn or a severe second or third degree burn all over your body. Imagine it in your head, in your ears, in your eyes, in your nose, in your tongue, in your fingers. And imagine now, that's what Aiden is going through. And how was Aiden being dealt with? Was he being told, honey, come over here, we'll calm you down, we'll turn down the lights, we'll turn off the lights, we'll prevent the noise from happening, we won't have a fire drill? No. Aiden was locked in a dark bathroom. And people, that is unacceptable, especially in this country. It is completely unacceptable. And it's not that people are trying to be mean. It's unacceptable anywhere in the world. But in our country, which has arguably the best of the best of healthcare, the best of the best in special needs children and adaptations to special needs children, we are still failing our children. And anyone who is punished and chastised and mocked and bullied because others don't understand what they're going through, those people need our help, whether they're children or adults. And we're going to come back in the next segment to talk to an incredible young lady about how she has seen a very simple, very beautiful little Rhodesian Ridgeback puppy transforming the lives of special needs children. Please stay tuned because this is going to be awesome. And you need to come back and listen to us from shelter dogs to service dogs.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog. Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dogs to Service Dogs. Well, we were just talking about Aiden and special needs children and the sensory overload, and we're full Grandin here with us in a future show, probably many of them, and you're going to hear her viewpoint on this. She is a very, very dear friend of mine, and we have been very close for many years. She is actually the legal guardian of Wyatt, if anything ever happens to me. Those of you who don't know who Wyatt is, you need to go onto Facebook, onto Wyatt Ridgeback, and be Wyatt's friend. Wyatt not only works with thousands of special needs children, Wyatt also finds cancers, tumors. He can alert to blood sugar. He can alert to seizures. He can alert to ALS. He can even find someone who's autistic. Wyatt, in fact, every time he sees our good friend Temple, goes up to her in the front portion of her forehead on the one side, and Wyatt sniffs her. And I need to ask Temple quite a while ago, Temple, why does Wyatt always go up to you, and it seems like really to any child with autism or Asperger's, why does he always smell that exact spot on the forehead? And of course, Temple said that Temple knows everything literally. Temple said, well, that's the frontal cortex, and that's the spot that fires extra with an autistic person. Aha! So there's more brain activity. Folks, not less brain activity. Children with autism, people with autism and Asperger's are not less intelligent. They are typically more intelligent. They have more activity in their brain, not less. So we have to tap that amazing potential that's within each autistic or special needs child. And as they grow up, support them and be there for them and help them to develop that talent because they may be saving the world someday. Well, right now, I have a huge surprise for everybody. We have an incredible young lady. Her name is Casey Butler. Casey is with United Canine Professionals and also with Merlin's Kids. So she's got a whole bunch of training behind her, and she's an incredible young lady. I want to welcome Casey to the show. Casey, welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Janice. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Well, we're all excited to have you. And a lot of people have been asking me about a very special little girl named Callie, who is not a human. But Casey, can you explain who Callie is and what Callie does and what you do with Callie at the school?
Absolutely. Callie is my baby now. She is going to be 6 months old on Friday, and she's a Rhodesian Ridgeback, just like Zuri, Aiden's service dog. And she just started at our school on Monday as the school's entire school's service dog. What we do with Callie is we facilitate therapy to the children at the school, and we also do behavioral intervention when there's some behavior issues that need to be modified. We might bring Callie in or utilize Callie in a certain way in order to have the child self-regulate or even calm them down in a stressful situation. And she's actually completely, I would say, made a transformation in the school and in several children, definitely, if not all. They're all very excited to have her there. I mean, who doesn't love a puppy? But
well,
she
that's
is
awesome, Casey.
Absolutely
Tell
amazing.
Me, without using names, obviously, because we have confidentiality issues, but let's say call little boy Johnny and the little girl Susie. Tell me about a real-life situation, maybe one where normally it would have taken hours or a day for the child to make a transformation, and instead you've done it in less time.
Okay, perfect. So we had an issue or a situation with a little boy shutting down at the end of the day. He has a little bit of anxiety about getting on the school bus or his school bus at the end of the day, and he was just not in a good place. He had a rough day at school, and they were having an issue getting him on the bus on time, and were worried that he was going to miss the bus or the bus was going to have to leave without him because they're on a tight schedule. And he was sitting seat in his classroom with his head down, unresponsive to anyone. He wouldn't talk, he wouldn't stand up, he wouldn't gesture, he wouldn't respond to anyone. He was really in crisis mode, and he just was completely shut down. And they called me to the room with Callie and asked me if I had any ideas or anything to get him to please get to his bus on time because they had a few issues last year with the same type of thing. And we brought Callie in. He had talked to Callie earlier and introduced himself and said that he loves dogs. And we went in, and he was unresponsive. He wouldn't talk to us for a few seconds. And I explained, because Callie was signaling that he was stressed. She was circling around him and staring at him and looking at him and waiting for a response. And I said, you know, do you think you can tell Callie you're okay? She's very nervous right now, and she really needs to know that you're okay. She's worried about you. And he looked up at her, and he didn't say a word. And then I said, you know, she's really worried about you. She took a liking to you earlier, and she wanted to come in and check on you and make sure you're okay and make sure you get on the bus on time. And he picked up his head, and I said, can you tell her what's wrong? And he waited for about 10 seconds and put his head back down, and he said, school's just really hard. And one of the counselors that was with us at the time spoke to him, and they've made a lot of progress in the past couple of years, or the past year itself. And he said, you know, everybody goes through that. And he goes, but you really need to get on your bus, and we're going to work it out with your teachers and work it out with you. And I said, you know, I said, oh, my goodness, Callie is signaling to go out to the bathroom. She really has to go. Can you help me take her out? And he didn't respond. He put his head back down, and I said, oh, my, she really needs to go. And I put the leash in his hand. And he took about 3 seconds. He stood up from his chair, pushed his chair in, and walked straight out the front door. And she took her to the ground and then got on the bus. It was
amazing.
He said, thank you. I'll see you in the morning, Callie. And he was very excited.
That's awesome.
He was good
to go. Oh, my goodness. People, you guys have to stay to hear the rest of this story, because this is fascinating, Casey. Can you stay with us for another segment, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. All right, stay tuned for the next segment with Casey Butler from Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children. Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Boy, oh boy, it doesn't get much better than this. Special needs kids and puppies. I mean, really, folks, where are you going to get that kind of entertainment that is not only entertaining but is life-altering? Casey has just told us about an incredible, amazing experience that she had with a little boy who wouldn't get on the bus, and this is a special needs child who wouldn't get on the bus, and I'm sure this has been a problem for more than just one day. Casey, this is really fascinating stuff. How did you actually get this little boy, once he took Callie out for a walk, how did you actually get him onto the bus?
Well, I actually asked him. I said, you know, this is Callie's first year ever at a school. It's her first day. She's never seen a bus before. Do you think you'd be able to show her where you sit and maybe bring her to the bus and show you? And he said, sure. And he literally just walked her right up to the bus, got on, and said, and I said, you know, I said, thank you so much. And she followed him, and I said, can you give her a pet goodbye and thank her for walking you out? And he did, and he said, thank you, I'll see you in the morning, Callie. And I said, all right, we'll be here. And he got on the bus and waved to us, and he was on his way just like that. She did a great job for being six months old.
That's crazy. Of course, I've seen it because that's what we do, but it's amazing to see that you could have 10 people trying to get teachers and all that, trying to get a little boy on the bus, and a six-month-old, extremely well-trained, obviously, but six-month-old puppy can do what, you know, probably most of the school faculty can't do. And the school that you're at, I guess we can mention the name. It's called the Calais School. They're in Whippany, New Jersey. Amazing place. Amazing. Faculty, like, unbelievable. Actually, we at Merlin's Kids chose for this pilot program. It's a unique program. This is it. There's nobody else doing what we're doing in the same manner or even close to that, where what we're doing is very groundbreaking. So it's kind of a crazy thing if you think about it. So, Casey, I mean, I'm sure there were other amazing stories. That's pretty mind-blowing. But you did mention something about a little girl, I think, it was a young man who had an ill sister. And that's fascinating, too, because I believe that was a young man who has a lot of issues. And, again, without saying your name, you can call him, you know, whatever. Jim or, you know, Johnny. Tell us what happened with him and how you were able to use Callie to intervene and do, you know, the therapeutic intervention that you do.
Absolutely. We had a situation this week with a young man who was in the counseling center often last year. He's such a sweet kid. He's in high school, and he's excellent. He's just such a sweet kid. And one of his goals for this year is to really stay in class and keep his grades up and really focus on school. And unfortunately, the other night, his sister fell ill, and she is out of state, and his mother had to leave and go see her. And he was very, very upset and worried and didn't get a lot of sleep. Came into the nurse's office this morning and was just very upset, inconsolable, and he was having a rough time. And he said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it to class today. I'm just having a really down day. And we brought him up to the counseling center, and Callie was already up there waiting for him. She had met him before, and she didn't greet him automatically, which to me signals there's a high level of stress going on in that person. She backed away from him when he came in. She was very aware of his presence. He sat down and put his head down on the desk and was just silent. And the counselor said, you know, you're welcome to be silent. You don't have to talk about it right now. Are you okay, though? And he said, I'm doing all right. And Callie, was doing half circles around him very slowly, and then she came over by me, and she laid down, and she just stared at him intently. And I said to him, you know, I don't know if you noticed, because he had his head down. I said, but Callie's been very, very in tune to you since you walked in. I was like, do you, would it be all right if, you know, you told her that you're okay? And he was like, I'm okay. I'm okay, Callie. And he wasn't okay, because she could sense it. She wouldn't go near him. And she has that special sense that she can tell if somebody has high anxiety, high excitement, or is just just has a very high energy about them, I guess you would say. And she stands off until you can calm down. And I said, you know, I think she would like to greet you, but she can sense that you're not in a good place right now. Is that true? And he said, yeah, that's true. I'm trying to be calm, but I'm really anxious right now. And I said, yeah, she can sense that. And the counselor instructed him to take a couple deep breaths, and he did, and you could see him start coming down, and Callie started inching closer and closer and doing little half circles very slowly and staring at him. And she ended up going up and sniffing him and just putting her chin on his lap for just a half second. And he said, is it okay if I pet her? And I said, now you can pet her. And he just started petting her head. And then he took his hand and put it back on the desk and put his head down. And she sat next to him, and he just started petting her again, put his hand back up, and she just curled up and laid down right next to him. And he sat there for about 10 minutes. Then we took her outside, and he said he would walk her to go to the bathroom just to get some fresh air and relax. We went up. She curled up next to him, and he was back in class within a half hour. He was
wow.
He said,
and that's that.
I'm able to go back to class now.
The boy you're saying, this is the boy who would maybe not even make it back to class at all, and in less than a half hour? The boy was back in class
and he
studying?
He just needed that unconditional understanding, and he didn't have to talk to anyone. He didn't have to say a word. She just understood him just by sitting there.
Wow.
It was amazing.
We're going to have to talk more about Callie and Casey. We've got definitely more things, wonderful, wonderful things coming up on from Shelter Dog to Service Dog, so please stay tuned. And we're going to talk about some really life-changing experiences, and we've got two of them already. So please stay tuned to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others. Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today's guest is Casey Butler, who is amazingly changing the lives of special needs children with a six-month-old Rhodesian Ridgeback puppy named Callie. Callie has a little bit of an interesting story, doesn't she, Casey? Can you tell a little bit about who Casey, who Callie's grandfather is?
Callie's grandfather is Wyatt Ridgeback, who detects cancer and seizures and diabetes and infections and autism and blindness, apparently, and he is just amazing. And I can see a lot of Wyatt's traits come out in Callie as we work more and more in this school. I learn something new about her every day. She does the same exact patterns that he does with her nose when she's smelling somebody, and she responds to energy amazingly. You wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. She's phenomenal, and I can't believe a six-month-old puppy is just so in tune to people and she's making such a difference already, and she's just a baby. It's just amazing.
It is, and you know, I want to talk to you. I mean, I'd like to save one more story you can think about for the next segment, but I really want to talk a little bit more about what we do and how we implement these kind of programs and why we chose the Calais School, which is C-A-L-A-I-S, Calais, and we have Callie, who is, I believe, C-A-L-L-I-E. So we have Callie, the Calais School service dog. The difference between a service dog and a therapy dog, and dogs, we love all dogs. I mean, there are not too many dogs out there that we wouldn't want to snuggle up in bed with. Maybe some of the drooly dogs, but the kids with sensory issues, obviously, we want to have a dog that doesn't smell, so we don't want a real long-coated dog. We don't want a dog who has very itchy dander or itchy hair. We want a dog that is going to be very in tune. You heard Casey say that this not even six-month-old puppy is already exhibiting, and yes, she's been trained intensively, but there is so much of it that is just natural and instinctive. And apparently hereditary, because Wyatt's got, between his children and his grandchildren, he's probably got about 80 to 90% of the puppies that he has fathered or grandfathered are service dogs or therapy dogs, or some or both. So it's a very, very interesting situation that, yes, some of it is apparently inherited. However, you still have to look to see certain traits and to be able to know which traits are going to meld best. Some dogs are better as service dogs for one individual person. That's typically what we see. And we are training, I mentioned last week, a little service dog, one of Wyatt's grandsons, for a little boy in Texas who has ONH and cannot see. They think about like 99%. Vision impaired. And it's very sad to see a three-year-old, but when you saw this little boy grab onto Wyatt, and this is what Casey alluded to, Wyatt actually, and I've never seen Wyatt do this before, actually sniffed this little boy's eyes. I've never seen Wyatt in all the things and places he's been putting his nose to alert people to health issues or to energy. I've never seen him sniff someone's eyes before. Well, Wyatt apparently is able to transmit that to his babies and grandbabies. But we don't only use Wyatt clones. We use most of our dogs, probably at least 90% of the dogs we've trained in place, started out, as the show name says, from shelter dogs, and they became service dogs. That's what this show is dedicated to, not just for everybody to know who loves dogs and says, oh, yeah, dogs are great. But it's to understand that many, if not most, of the dogs out there in shelters would not only be good family pets, but could be used to change the lives of special needs children and adults. Not just to be a well-behaved, well-trained pet, which is great in itself, not just to be a therapy dog that visits people in the hospital and that people pet, but actually to do something that Casey is living her dream with, which is actually being service dogs for multiple people. There are, I believe, 80 or 90 children at the Calais school. Merlin's kids has had, and I can't even count how many, but so many people from different public and private schools around the country wanting us to implement programs. Well, we selected Calais because the staff, the people there are amazing. And the executive director, David Leitner, and I have been working on this for at least a year and determining what would be the best thing for the school. So I think a lot of people who have special needs children don't really realize that the choice of school, and there are great schools all over, and there are some not-so-great schools all over, but the main thing is to have the staff who is forward-thinking and willing to try any legitimate therapy or intervention that is out there in order to help a child with special needs. For example, this is the exact same school that Aiden goes to with Zuri. So the Calais school actually has Zuri with Aiden and Callie, who is with Casey Butler. Now, one of the main things, and I'm going to talk about this, you guys have heard me complain, is a lot of times we see a dog and it's said to be a service dog. Well, if you have a legitimate service dog, you should not know the dog is there. You should not, as I always joke around with people, be able to look from the waist up and notice that there's a dog there. You should look at the person and be able to do like what we do, walking through the mall. And we can walk through the mall with 3 or 4, 100-pound dogs. And as we're walking through, people don't even know we have a dog there. And it's pretty funny when you walk around with 400 pounds of canine, and they're so well-behaved that people don't even look. We do go on the train at the one mall, and we train our dogs, and we call it service dog, quote-unquote, training, because we're on the train. And it's always funny to watch the onlookers looking at the train and kind of watching the little kids and then pointing and going, oh, my God, there's dogs on there. That's how well-behaved our dogs are. And Callie is not even 6 months old. She has more training and more time and more just natural instinct than most legitimate service dogs who are out there. It's finding the job for the dog, and it's making sure that you have the dog who is going to be naturally instinctive and naturally good for that job. We are going to talk more in a little bit when we return for our next break from shelter dog to service dog. Stay with us.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog. Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Wow, this is an amazing show. Just to hear how amazingly well this puppy has done, who obviously has a tremendous amount of training, and obviously the background and genetics of Wyatt, Grandpa Wyatt. One of the things is that I find fascinating, I want to speak with Casey for a moment again, before we sum up the show. Casey, how did you learn all the things and how to do these therapy interventions and the behavioral interventions and I mean, where did this come from, and how long have you been wanting to do something and finally found it? And how'd you do it? How can somebody else have your dream job? Not your dream job, but another dream job in another great place.
Oh, Janice, I've been looking for my dream job forever. I went to school for education, and I've loved dogs since I think I opened my eyes, and memorized my dog book by the age of 4, and then just in love with them. But I went for education because I absolutely love kids, and obviously have had, once I was out of school, I've been out for a little while, and I've had trouble finding a teaching job, and in the meantime, I was subbing at schools and figured, there would be nothing better than to get involved with dogs, because I'd been working at shelters and volunteering at shelters and working with the dogs up there and just loving it, even though it was volunteering. And my mom had seen this ad for training, rescuing shelter dogs and training them to be service dogs for special needs kids. And I was like, that can't even be real. That's like my dream job. And I applied, hoping that maybe I would get an interview or something. And about 3 months went by, and I was a little bit heartbroken because I thought, oh, they definitely skipped over my name or didn't see my, or something. And that night, when I was talking to my mom about how I didn't think I got the job, Janice Wolf called me and explained who she was and explained that she was calling about my application and my letter that I had written. And I was shaking because I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's real. This job is real. And I got really into the canine behavior and got certified through United Canine Professionals, first as a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist to work with dogs and their behavior issues and help the dogs at the shelters who have behavioral issues so that they can end up getting adopted out, and also to go into private homes and fix dogs with behavioral issues so that they can stay with their families. And I thought that was great. And then, of course, I wanted to get into training service dogs, so I had mentioned that to Janice, and we started up my training immediately, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. And the one day, I remember you asking me how my job search was going, and me just saying, well, it's not. I've been, applying everywhere, and no teaching opportunities really in the area. And she just completely lost the train of thought that she was thinking and said, oh my gosh, I have a job for you in New Jersey. And explained to me about the Calais school and about about using a puppy. And we immediately started. I went and met the staff at the school and David Leitner, and I had fallen in love with the school. The staff is absolutely phenomenal and amazing and caring, and they're just amazing. And I couldn't believe it. I was like in a dream. It was the best of both worlds. I get to work with kids and help the kids, and I get to work with dogs, and it was just amazing. And I still can't believe it. I'm still not really believing that this is my job.
It is. Dreams come true. And Casey, it's funny because I do remember when we first started, and we had over 200 applicants for our class for natural canine behavior rehabilitation. We had over 200 people. We already had, I believe, 12. We only had a few spots left, and there was something about your application that just everybody on the board just kind of looked at it and said, wow, we got to put this girl here. She's awesome. And Casey went through the training, and as far as I remember from grades and all internally and externally, Casey, you were number one in your class, so everyone's, I guess, the most likely to succeed of the canine world. But what's amazing is how we've seen you change and how we've seen you changing other people and other kids, not just the kids, though, but changing some of the adults. Because, we all love dogs. Everybody who's listening to this show either has a special needs child or is trying to train their dog to become a service dog or a therapy dog. And what's amazing is we have classes. This is something, we're there. We're actually in 37 states. So with people around the country and Gary in Bulgaria, we always have to mention Gary, We've got a lady from Finland for our next class. We've got people in California. We've literally all over the country. And everybody comes from a different viewpoint and a different beginning. But like I always tell the children when they say, oh, I'm not smart and I can't do that, and I explain to the children, it doesn't matter where you start from. Because if we had a meeting and we took all the people from United Canine Professionals and all the people from Merlin's Kids, which is hundreds on hundreds, and we all decided to meet in New York City, and I gave everyone an address. Some people would be coming from Florida, some would be coming from Bulgaria, some would be coming from Pennsylvania, some would be coming from California. You'd be coming from all over. But it doesn't matter for your children or for your animals where you start. It matters where you end up. And I always tell people when they call me and they say, oh, my gosh, I have my child. He has autism, and he's got PDDs, and he's got ADD and ODD. And I explain to them that all of these children are going to get there. They're just taking a different way. Some of the kids are walking. Some of the kids are crawling. Some of the kids are running. Some of the kids take airplanes. Some of the kids take a highway. Some take country roads. It doesn't matter how they are getting there, but that we keep supporting them until they arrive. And I always tell everyone, in my world, you're either special or you're average. This is absolutely an incredible show. I've got goosebumps. I can't wait for next week. And everybody, please welcome and say thank you to Casey Butler with me for changing the lives of a little puppy and about 90 children who will never forget her and never forget the contributions that she and Callie are making at the Calais School. All right, well, I hate to say, but this is the last segment, and we want you to come back next Tuesday, again, same time, from Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf, who wishes you a very fond good evening.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children. Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Today is our lucky day. We have one more segment. I'm so excited. We're so efficient that we get extra. So that's great because now we get to go into some training tips. And hopefully Casey's going to be able to help me with a few of these. Most people who have a service dog wannabe or a therapy dog wannabe assume that you have to make the dog very obedient. And this is actually getting a little bit more into our behavioral techniques. Every one of the Merlin's Kids service dogs and anyone who graduates from any of our service dog and therapy dog training classes around the country has to first learn not how to take a cookie and make a dog sit, not how to use a clicker, which is, they're all fine, they're wonderful things, but we're talking service dogs here. We're talking dogs. We're talking dogs who are changing people and changing the world, literally changing the world, many children. We don't want the dogs to feel that they have to do it. We want the dogs who want to do it because they love us and they want to please us. And we have Casey here still. So I want to ask Casey, because we were interviewing some of the children, and again, without using names, we were interviewing some of the children who said, I don't want to make the dog come to you or to me. I don't want you to have to tell the dog to come to me because I want the dog to want to come to me. And that's a very, very telling comment from a special needs child who might be 8 or might be 15. If we think about it, many times when we see a service dog, we think, wow, there's so much training involved. And I don't really know that that's the right word. For what Merlin's Kids produces with service dogs, What we need to do is not have the dog forced to go to the child, because then the child feels like, oh, you're being made to come to me. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. The goal is to have a dog that you have a very strong bond with. And if anyone wants to listen to our Friday show, which is called For the Love of Dog, also on this great station that you're listening to right now, instead of training the dog using cookies or treats, we actually use natural canine behavior rehabilitation, which I created through years and years of very intensive positives and negatives and learning experiences. And this behavioral technique teaches the dogs to become very calm, very confident, very easygoing, and very good to become service dogs. So, for instance, the little boy who is from Texas, who has ONH, who is going to be receiving his own service dog at 3.5, so he doesn't have to wait until he's 18. This little boy's dog has already been trained before he ever met. The dog has been trained behaviorally to not react to anything. So we can do this not just with a puppy. We can do this with actually a shelter dog, which is what the show is about. We take shelter dogs, and so can you. You can take whichever dog you have, and you can change that dog behaviorally into a service dog for your child. Then, once the dog is the best-behaved, sweetest dog in the world and doesn't react to pretty much anything, then we can help you also to train the dog to be a service dog for your special needs child or for your veteran or for your adult with PTSD or whatever the issue. But the goal is always to make sure that that dog is bomb-proof. We always say at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids especially that we can't make the child dog-proof, because you can't trust kids with dogs sometimes. But we have to make the dog child-proof. So basically what we're doing is making the dog so bomb-proof that even if something does go wrong, the dog won't do anything about it. And I've seen why it actually being slugged, punched, kicked, bitten by children. Yes, by children. And amazingly, he won't even fight back. He will just stand there and take it. Now, I don't allow him to be abused, because some people think that the dog is just going to be a punching bag for a special needs child, and we do not give dogs to children who are aggressive or abusive to animals in any way, shape, or form. I assure you of that. But when you have a child, special needs child, who's acting out, the dog can be a huge catalyst for change and for therapeutic intervention. And that's what Casey's doing right now. Casey, if somebody wanted to do this through UnitedK9Professionals.com, which is United, the letter K, number 9, UnitedK9Professionals.com, or MerlinsKids.org, how would you say that the training that you received prepared you to work with these children and to understand that the dog is not a punching bag, but that the dog can be used as a therapy tool for these children?
Well, the training is very intensive. We have our, I would say, in-class sessions with the conference calls, and we learn a lot. We have homework, we have teachers, we have group projects and everything, and then after all that's done, we get to work a little bit more hands-on, observe, we get to practice, and then once that's done, and once we're certified in the behavior end, then we got to go and do the service dog and attend service dog classes with other dogs with other people who are looking to certify their dogs. And Janice obviously has been doing this for a while, so she has a lot of stories under her belt. She has a lot of advice. And even everyone in the group has their own take on it and advice, which allows everyone to learn. So it's a pretty awesome experience. And one of the major things I learned in class was if you're ever going to use a dog for therapy in a school setting or with any special needs child is never use the dog as a reward for an outburst or a bad behavior, which some of the children don't get right off the bat. They think that they should be able to pet the dog if they're having a bad day or if they got sent to the counseling room. And we've explained to all the classes now that they will not be allowed to pet the dog if they have had an outburst or had done something inappropriate or mean to another child or to a teacher. It's about self-regulation and appropriate social skills and about getting permission to pet a dog. And a couple of the kids had a tough time with it on the first day, but it's really, even after 2 days, it started. They're really getting it, and they're asking to pet the dog. They're realizing that they won't be able to get to see Callie if they act out, and some of them are really excited, and they're even telling me in the halls, "Miss Butler, I was really good today." And they're, "Can I pet Callie?" And I say, you know, make it to the end of the day, and I'll try and bring her to your classroom to see you guys. And they're all smiles because they just love her. I mean, she's absolutely adorable. I don't know how you could not love a puppy. But it's just, it's amazing.
Well, Casey, unfortunately, our show has come to an end for the day. But it sounds like there's an awful lot. And maybe you'll even consider coming back on a future show to give us some more updates on some of these amazing kids. And to get some training tips, too. Everybody stay tuned. Next week, same time, from Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.